Hello, Lions fans, and welcome to another edition of the Lions Den podcast. Adam Williams here, and joining me today, first time ever doing one of these, is head acrobatics and tumbling coach Shelby Armstrong. Shelby, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Again, first time ever. There's going to be a lot of first time evers, and I'm sure we're going to talk about it throughout this whole interview. But let's get to kind of what brought you here. And we were talking right before we went on air. You moved here in late 2020. Had all spring to recruit. The fall semester's just kicked up. What's it like now knowing that, you know, we were talking about adding this acrobatic and tumbling team and you've assembled it. Now they're here on campus and we're only a few months away from the season starting. Talk about kind of that excitement that you have going into this season.
Right. So, I mean, I've built a program before, so I knew it was going to be pretty difficult just to get a brand new team in, and kind of the turnaround was really quick. So having done it in a shorter amount of time, I knew what I needed to do. And having now, it was almost 3.5, 4 years of experience recruiting. So coming in here, I fell in love with the campus and just the support that I had here and the location. And recruiting was actually really easy. And I think that a big thing in that was I had built a program and had its highs and its lows. And I'd gone through enough things that I was a lot more solid in who I was as a coach. So recruiting and just my philosophy was just like, I was narrowing it down. Like, I knew exactly what I was doing and what I was saying. And so I was pretty much done recruiting the required amount of athletes in the middle of the spring. So I wasn't even going too far into the summer. So that was really exciting. But just the level of talent that we have in, this is the most talented class I've ever had. And they're pretty much all freshmen other than three girls. But they're all brand new to the sport for the most part. And even just our first three practices, I'm like, wow, this is going to be a lot of fun. This year's going to be a lot of fun. They're ready to learn. They're catching on quickly. They're going through the basics and, you know, just super fast. And it's really exciting already. So.
No, it's encouraging to hear. And I remember just in the spring, I had Tatum Boggs, who was my graduate assistant. It seemed like every day you said, hey, we got a new recruit, make a graphic. And it was just incredible because we were thinking, man, it might take a little bit. But like you said, about middle of the spring, you had the required number you had and then were able to add a couple more. We'll talk about those recruits here in a little bit. But you mentioned building a program previous. You came to Marcell from Davison Elkins after graduating from the University of Oregon. So we're going to go back quite a ways here, okay. And then we're going to work our way up here. A question I like to ask coaches, especially the first time doing this, is clearly you're coaching acrobatics and tumbling, right? Like Cody Carlson was doing men's and women's golf, or Greg Munn does men's soccer. What about this sport when you were younger? You said, this is the avenue I want to pursue. Were there any other sports that you played as a child growing up? And again, like, what was the one that narrowed it down to acrobatics and tumbling?
Right, yeah. So I did competitive cheerleading growing up, actually. I mean, before that, and once we got to high school, our parents were like, all right, you got to pick one sport because you're all playing club sports and we can't drive around the city of Dallas that often. So my parents kind of knew, like, I played volleyball, but it was like, you're a little too short. You're probably not going to go to college for this. Like, let's think about what's going to get you an education. And so I started doing, I think, just tumbling and cheerleading when I was like 5 or 6 years old. Then I went to competitive cheerleading instead of like school cheer. So the difference in that is like school cheer, like, you know, football games, basketball games, things like that. Competitive cheerleading is just more competitive, I guess. It's all tumbling and it's stunting. And what people don't know too is when you watch cheerleading, a lot of the stunts that they did came from acrobatic gymnastics. So a lot of the technique is there. It changes based on, you know, the sport and the requirements and the skill sets and the scoring systems and all of that. But I did competitive cheerleading and I was a tumbler and I was a base and I was all the things. And I went to compete. What I hated the most about competitive cheerleading was the skirt and the bow and smiling and, like, how much blush I was required to put on my face. So it was probably my freshman and sophomore year in high school. I wanted to go to Hawaii Pacific University to be a competitive cheerleader. They had an amazing competitive cheerleading program, and that's where I wanted to go. And, I mean, we knew I wasn't going to go to Hawaii. Like, that's just really far. And I could do the same sport in Texas if I wanted, where I'm from. And so I found out about acrobatics and tumbling from some girls on my team that were older who had gone to Baylor and actually competed. So my parents were like, oh, yeah, you're only 3 hours away. Let's go to Baylor. Let's do this. So I filled out the recruiting things for Baylor. I went on a campus visit, all that stuff. I just didn't really fall in love with the coaching staff at the time. But also my biggest thing was all my friends are going here. Everyone I just grew up with all through cheerleading, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years are going to Baylor. And I didn't want to, you know, stay that close to home and see the same people for the next 4 years. So basically I was like, who else has this sport? Like, there has to be other schools. So I go online and I'm like, University of Oregon is number one in the country and there's only 6 schools. Fill out that recruiting form. I think it was maybe the next day the coach called me and was like, hey, want to fly out for a recruiting trip, you know. So my mom and I went out there in October. I fell in love with the coaching staff, just their philosophy and just the team, and staying in the apartments with the team and watching practices and all that stuff. Fell in love with Oregon in general, and of course the facilities, you know, we all know. My mom just cried. She's like, "You're going here, aren't you?" I was like, "Yes, this is where I'm going." So went to school in Oregon, and it's funny, the coaches that recruited me and coached me for my first 2 years went to Baylor. they went to be the Baylor coaches and brought that program up to be the best, you know, acrobatics only program that we have now. I think they're seeded number one mostly every year. So pretty exciting, but it was a huge thing for the sport because it required the sport to grow. It was like, okay, Oregon's not going to beat everybody every time. Now we know other schools can do it. Other schools can win. So that's really when other schools started to be like, all right, this is an opportunity that we're going to hop into. So yeah, that's pretty much what my background was. No skirts and no bows. I didn't want to wear any of that.
There you go. And it was clearly the right choice because we look at your bio, led the team to 2 national titles. Talk about those experiences and what that was like throughout that season and reaching such high level competition.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was really the first time I'd ever been a part of a team or a program where every single person on the mat was bought in. And you only compete with 24 athletes at any time. That's the maximum. The minimum's like 15 to 18. Our team had probably like 40 to 43 girls on it. So you had almost half of a team that was never going to compete, you know, but people were still there. You know, they still stayed because the fight to, hey, hopefully I can do this one day, or here's what I need to do to get better to do this, but they just bought into the culture and our coach's philosophy, and just we all loved the team, we loved the sport, and we just bought into kind of what the point of it was. We were making history. Like, this was a brand new sport, and we were winning national championships, and people are like, what's acrobatics tumbling? Still to this day, people are like, so do you guys use like ribbons and stuff? And I'm like, no, we stopped doing that last year. you kind of explaining it to people, we still have to educate a lot less than we did then. But the winning those national championships was awesome because everybody on the mat was like fighting to the nail the entire time, and our coaches just preached, you know, in practices, just the perfection required in practice for us to be able to go to a meet and it not matter. It'd be like just like a practice, you know, not treat it any differently, not try any harder and all that stuff, but really coming together as a team the entire year, or we were never going to win a meet, you know, to begin with. So it was really exciting because, you know, everybody put in the work and the effort to win, and it wasn't just because we were the best, it's because we trained like the best. And so, you know, going into me as a coach, and I was a first year coach in my first program, and I had a team of freshmen, and I tried to coach them like I was coached. And it was a little bit different, you know, Division I school and a school that had won national championships. And then I have a team of freshmen and I'm just like really mean. And so they were all quitting, you know, they didn't want to be there. And I had to kind of find that, meet them where they were, and then raise the bar from there. So now, you know, I'm a lot better at doing that and figuring out where they need to be. But winning those national championships, I mean, getting the rings, all that stuff at the University of Oregon, it was really cool. And mainly just because, like I said, everybody bought in and everybody wanted to be there. Even if they weren't on the mat, they were there rooting for you to win that national championship for the team. And that's just the kind of culture I always want to try to create, you know, and figuring out how to do it based on the year and based on the team and the personalities that we have has been a journey.
Graduated from Oregon in 2016, returned back to Texas, formed Tumble Tech, but shortly thereafter you move out to Davis and Elkins. So you go from Texas to Oregon, mm-hmm. over to the East Coast now, and now down south. Let's discuss kind of the travel, but also let's focus mostly on that first coaching role. You've hinted at it throughout, but the challenges from, like you said, being a national champion competitor to now being a coach and trying to elevate that talent to where you just came from, the adjustments made, but also what were some other challenges that you faced as a first-year coach?
Yeah, I mean, that was a big one, trying to understand that, you know, this isn't a Division I program, but also it's not a winning program yet. You know, that's going to take some time and figure out how to do that. But I guess the transition from me going from an athlete, I mean, when I got my first head coaching job at the collegiate level, I was 22. And they were like, all right, you're building a program. And I'm like, what do I even do? I don't even have a laptop right now. Like, what email do I send? So that was quick, a quick thing that I had to learn. And it was just reaching out to my old coaches, to mentors, people who were my age who were going into coaching already. And then realizing that, like, yes, I was a really good athlete, you know, I was strong and all those things. You're for the first year at a small school in a small town, it's going to be hard to recruit the same caliber of athlete that you were. And that took me some time to understand as well. I'd be like, oh, these girls don't have the skills that I was throwing. I'm not recruiting them. And my boss at the time was like, no, you can't you can't do that. You have to have this amount of people, and they're not going to be at the level for the first year most of the time that you want them to be. And so it's developing at the Division II level, especially at a brand new program. It's about developing the players and having, you know, getting the girls in at where they're at, and then we develop them into being the athletes we want them to be, which I was successful doing for a lot of them. We had, I think our first year, we had 15 girls. I think we ended the year with 9, and we went into the next year with like 6 or 7 of them, and then just kept recruiting really big classes after that, you know, to keep the amount of kids that we needed. But like I said, that first year was a trial and error. A lot of kids who didn't really want to be there or need to be there, things like that. But the transition from that was definitely huge. And then, yeah, so I went from Oregon to Texas, and I was in Austin for a couple months starting a club acrobatics tumbling program for a family who I used to cheer with their daughters, and they were incredible people. Opened up this big power tumbling, just kind of multi-purpose gym for all these different things. They have cheerleading now too, but my ultimate goal was to coach at the collegiate level. I didn't think I would get the opportunity at that age, but I got some calls, and they're like, you're gonna fly out to West Virginia. And I was like, where is that on the map? Okay. So we're going to West Virginia, you're going to Elkins. There's like 7,000 people in that town, something like that. There's no Chick-fil-A, so good luck. And so I went there, and just the idea of I'm going to build my program by myself and figure out how I want to do it from the ground up. And that was really exciting to me, and just ready to kind of keep moving. So now when people are like, where are you from? I'm like, well, roundabout answer, I am from Texas. I'm born and raised there, but I've lived in like 3 or 4 other states. So technically I don't really know. And they're like, where'd you move here from? I'm like, West Virginia, but I'm not from there. Right. So it gets kind of confusing explaining, but then I get to explain the sport to them. They're like, well, what brought you here? I'm like, oh, well, let me tell you. Do you have about 35 minutes?
We talk about kind of moving around different areas. I'm looking at the roster right now, and kind of the same mindset has gone into recruiting. Kids from 13 different states, if I counted correctly. A couple from California, a couple from North Carolina. We have one international student from Spain.
Yeah.
Is there necessarily a hotbed for this sport to recruit, or is it literally cast the net as big as you can, and whatever we reel in, that's where they're coming from?
Yeah, so this year was actually especially interesting in my recruiting and the way that the net was cast, like you said. Previously, I've really hit a hotbed in like California, Florida, Texas, which there's a lot of talent in all three of those states. If I could coach in Texas, I would never leave the state recruiting. Like, there's so many athletes in Texas. This year, when I moved here, I was like, you got to get at least 15 athletes, and you want to do it before the summer. So you're going to just cast a net in every single state that you can pronounce. So I basically did a lot of online recruiting. We have a lot of online recruiting databases in just every single region for gymnastics. I found those athletes online, took a lot of time, a lot of research, found them on social media, found their coaches' names, did whatever I could do to, hey, is this kid committed? You know, their level 7, 8, 9, you know, 10 or excel gymnast that or can do our sport. And coaches were like, oh, you know, some were actually surprised. They're like, oh, well, they're not going to Division I gymnastics, so why would you want them? I'm like, let me tell you, this is another opportunity for them. I can use their skills and I can make them better, and they're going to love this sport. So that's kind of what I did. I just casted a huge net. The girl from Spain, Andrea, I actually got contacted by her, you know, agent that she had there. And I was like, yes, I would love to have an international student. I've never had an international athlete before. So other than a walk-on, I had for 1 year at my last school. But yeah, there are hotbeds, I will tell you. This year was specifically different. I was just like, I'm going to contact anybody and everybody that I can find. And that was kind of, you know, just the way I did it. And so when I do recruit people, they're like, oh, well, where's the team from? Like, are they all from North Carolina? I'm like, only one. Only one girl on our roster is actually from North Carolina. I have 2 girls from California. So you can fly across the country if you want to. So yeah, it's really exciting. They're all far from home, you know, and so we've just tried really hard to create just that family atmosphere, because I'm far from home too. I totally get it. I understand, yeah.
Right. I think that's going to be a big key for your athletes, is being able to adjust in that regard too. Everyone's far from home. I mean, we have an athlete from Montana, like you said, couple from California, Texas, they're all over the place, but having someone that's also been removed from their families and can create that nurturing environment, essentially, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be huge. We're going to see these athletes compete in February. So we're going to kind of transition from the roster to the schedule here quickly. February 3rd, first meet of the year against Limestone. Mars Hill is a member of the Conference Carolinas in terms of acrobatics and tumbling. You look at this schedule, you look at the conference, what is your feeling being in the Conference Carolinas? And then you look at this schedule and you've seen the team, like you said, 3 practices right now. How are you feeling this early on?
I feel really good this early. I feel like I said, we have a lot of really talented girls, especially for our mostly freshman class, and how strong they are already. You know, we had our first weightlifting session, and Coach Carter was like, they're a lot stronger than they think, because we have a lot of gymnasts who have never really done weightlifting, but they are strong in their body weight exercises, you know, just from being gymnasts. They're just strong, right? And so they're learning those things, and I watched them, and I was like, man, these girls are strong. Like, they're going to do well. They're going to do well. We can keep them here, you know, and we can make this a program that they want to be a part of. We're going to do really, really well. Our first meet, Limestone. Limestone is a very competitive team. They were competitive their first year, I'm pretty sure, in their first year. And I think that they have, like, a roster of 40 girls. Like, they have a really big team. So that's going to be a really exciting meet. And I'm excited just to come to Carolinas, because a lot of the coaches I was an athlete with when I was in college, or, you know, have recruited with them a lot. And so we all kind of are in contact and stay connected. And then one of my girls, her older sister is a coach at Lander. So that's going to be really exciting when we see them from across the mat and see how that kind of goes. And she was actually one of my athletes at my last school. So anyways, Conference Carolinas, I think all these teams are very competitive, and I'm really excited, especially for the Conference Championship. And I remember Rick, when he told me, hey, we might join the Conference Carolinas for Acro, how do you feel? And I was like, that's exciting. He goes, yeah, you know, and there's a Conference Championship, you know, even if the first year we don't make it. I was like, we're going to make it first year. And he's like, well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big teams. So I was like, we're going to make it. First year. No, we're going to. and I want to. You know, that's the drive that I have, and that's why I say to the girls all the time, you know, I want to go to Conference Championship the first year. I want to do it. I want to win it, but I want to go for sure.
Right.
And just, you know, having that kind of that precedent from off the bat, like, this is what we're going to have to do to be able to get there, because these are going to be bigger rosters, these schools. Most of them are more established than we are already, just a couple years ahead. So, I'm really excited for the year. Limestone is going to be a tough meet for our first meet, but I think it'll set the bar for us to know where we need to go from there in order to reach that Conference Championship goal.
Say, fans, we have 4 home meets this year, 7 in the, I guess you'd call it a regular season, mm-hmm. before you enter the Conference Championships. Thursday the 3rd of February against Limestone, and then Thursday the 24th versus Belmont Abbey, and then March 17th, it's a tri-meet versus Coker and Lander, and then at the end of March on the 31st versus Bluefield State. Let's talk about Coker and Lander really quickly. What is the main difference between just going up against, say, Limestone and then the tri-meet? Let's kind of talk about the scoring differences and the competition differences between those two.
Right. I think that Coker and Lander are still newer programs, so it's still, you know, we're going to be similar to them in not only talent but roster size as well as a first-year program. Limestone, they just have a really big roster, so that's going to be one thing. But the talent's the talent, right? It doesn't matter if you have 15 or if you have 45. You know, you still have those key athletes that you have in multiple events, things like that. Also, the tri-meet setup is just longer. It takes a little bit longer. You get a little more tired towards the end of it as well. So you're standing around a little bit more. So keeping them warm the whole time is important. I remember when I was an athlete, I was like, I dread tri-meets. The tape on my ankle starts to rub it, starts to hurt. You know, I need new tape halfway through the meet, all that stuff. So our scoring system and just the judges that we have and the training that they've had has come so much further since then that things do go a little bit faster. The scores are more consistent with what you're seeing from meet to meet. So, you know, to say right now, I don't know what would be different in the scoring, but just I want to say just the meet, the situation of the meet, Limestone just has a bigger roster, so that might be we might struggle a little bit in some of their heat, some of the events. Not saying we can't, you know, win or anything like that, but they've just been around a little bit longer with a larger roster already for that training. Yeah, so the Coker Lander meet will be, you know, more similar to where we're at, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, Coach, as we wrap up this interview, first off, you could never tell that this is first interview. So it's been an absolute pleasure.
I've actually been practicing all morning.
Hey, there we go. I say the mirror is good for something. No, it's been an absolute pleasure sitting down and talking to you with you. As we wrap up, is there anything you want to leave the Lion fans with in terms of the program, in terms of what you're looking to do as a coach, and, you know, kind of just hyping up the season that's about to start?
Right. I mean, I really want these girls to develop a passion for the sport like I have, and hope that it takes them across the country a few times. I want them, you know, to become coaches. When my first athletes did that for my last program, I'm like, yes, finally, my job is done. They wanted to become coaches. We can win all we want, but I want them to continue to go on and to teach other athletes about the sport. And so that's really important to me, is just developing that passion for them now and teaching them the right way to do it, and showing my love for the sport and for the program. And just for Mars Hill, like, this is an awesome place. Everybody here is so supportive of our sport. They're like, we can't wait to come to home meets. We were asked to have our home meets on days that there are no other sporting events so that we could get as much, you know, spectators as possible, as many that we could. So I just think the support here has been unmatched to what I've experienced before. And I'm really excited for the season and for the future of the program.
Coach, I'm excited too, and like you said, I think everyone around here is buzzing about it too. So February, we'll see you against Limestone. Yeah. I'm sure we'll catch up much before that, and we'll have to keep up throughout the season as well. Thank you for taking the time, and best of luck this season.
Yeah, thank you.